How healthy is your gastrointestinal tract? Since January, I have had two attacks with diverticulitis. Therefore, on Tuesday, I will be undergoing a colonoscopy. I have often asked myself, are my emotions and psychological well-being affecting my physical health? Should I be paying more attention to my gut-brain connection? According to Harvard Medical Health, the gut-brain connection is no joke. It can link anxiety to stomach problems and vice versa. We use expressions like gut-wrenching or butterflies in my stomach and feeling nauseous for a reason. The gastrointestinal tract is sensitive to emotion, anger, anxiety, sadness, elation. All of these feelings and others can trigger symptoms in the gut. Sometimes I get butterflies in my stomach before a homily that addresses our Catholics' social teachings as it relates to some of our government policies. Or how about that last-second play that affected the Saints' playoff hopes? Or watching breaking news regarding the political climate in our country? When has some person or event triggered your brain and affected your gut? The Gospels recount the effect Jesus had on the emotions of others. But Jesus' own feelings are usually left unreported. But today's passage from Mark states that Jesus' heart was moved with pity for the vast crowd. Now, in between today's gospel and last week's Jesus sending the 12 out on mission, Jesus encountered rejection from his family and neighbors in Nazareth. And then received news of the death of his cousin, John the Baptist. How these events must have affected Jesus, not only for personal connections, but also for the parallels with his own future story. Inside, he was surely carrying a great weight of sorrow. Sometimes we all have to carry more than one emotion at a time, don't we? But what an emotional load that is to bear. So when Jesus saw the people looking for him, his heart was moved with pity, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. The word pity, also translatable as compassion, means that Jesus' guts were wrenched as he saw the crowd. The people of Jesus' time understood the intestines to be the seat of feelings, and the word pity, compassion, meant to feel the bowels yearn. The precondition for pity or compassion is unconditional solidarity with the ones for whom you feel it. As the old saying goes, someone whose care for the other moves from the inside out sees the other weep and tastes their tears. This is like the feeling of parents who see their children in real pain. the people's hunger, their heartfelt search, their longing for more, called Jesus forth. He allowed their need to turn him into a shepherd. That was Jesus' lesson for the disciples. Beyond anything words could explain, they saw how he identified with the needs that appeared before him. He was showing his followers that if they wanted to carry forth his mission, they had to feel the real needs of the people. Only then would they know what they had to offer. Pope Francis explains this in his encyclical Joy of the Gospel. He says that an evangelizing community gets involved in people's lives, daily lives. It bridges difference and is even willing to abase itself if necessary. Francis also reminds us that evangelization consists mostly of patience and disregard for the constraints of time. Well, Jesus went off to rest with his disciples. When he was out of gas, out of energy, he knew it was time to row across the lake to seek a quiet and restful place to restore his soul. He never fed every hungry person, healed every person's disease, or cast out every demon. Human work is never really finished. We never get to the point when all our needs are over and done with. One need is met, another crops up. So where is your place that you have to row across to get your Sabbath renewing rest? Some questions for your moments of solitude and rest. How do you feel when people approach you at odd times for assistance? Interrupted? How healthy is your sense of compassion toward others in need? What is your attitude about your need for rest and relaxation? Jesus and the apostles' lost retreat turned into one of the most important and memorable times they spent together. Jesus' response to this crowd would lead to the great communion among the multitude that we will contemplate for the next few weeks in John's Bread of Life discourse. Today, Jeremiah, Paul, and Jesus remind us that we can't just sit back and criticize our leaders. Instead, these people, prophet, apostle, Jesus, invite us to look at the dividing wall of enmity and allow the hungers of our world to touch our emotion of compassion and pity and to call us forth as Jesus called the crowd. One of the most beautiful texts from the Second Vatican Council states that the joys and hopes, the grief and anguish of the people of our world, our time, especially those who are poor and afflicted, are the joys and hopes, the grief and anguish of the followers of Christ as well. So when have the joys and hopes, the grief and anguish of the people of our time and world caused you to have a gut-wrenching experience? The Dalai Lama said, "If you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion." as we hunger and long for the love, mercy, and justice of God to reign in our world, let us become the shepherds our world needs.